Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Across the pond in the United Kingdom lives a young man named James Eder. And we have had the pleasure of having two wonderful mentoring conversations with him about all the entrepreneurial activities that he's been up to. We decided to have a third mentoring conversation because we're not quite to causer.co. Right? We've described Student Beans and your relationship. You and your brother founded Student Beans, and he's now the current owner. You're the chairman. He's handling all the day-to-day, but you keep your fingers in the beans.
I'm keeping my fingers on. I keep my fingers in the pies. It's interesting. I don't know if he'll appreciate me being quite the chairman, but I guess I'm probably playing, it seems like, that role. But I'm hands off now. So he's very much day to day and making things happen. And I'm, incredibly proud of, from an idea to what the business is doing today. But so I maybe not so much chairman. Okay. Not yet anyway.
Well, do you have a board of directors, or do you have an advisory board?
Yeah.
Or
so, I'm on the board, so I'm a director still of the business, and absolutely, there's a great team of people that are working kind of behind the scenes as well to support Michael. So yeah,
sure. And James founded in 2005 the website Student Beans, as we were just discussing, at age 22, alongside his brother Michael. And 11 years later, Student Beans has gone from an idea to a brand recognized globally for its student offers and discounts. Known today as the Beans Group, the business also encompasses Vox Burner. Vox Burner is a youth events and insights consultancy. The company employs a team of over 30 people and continues to recruit and grow. James is also the founder of Kentish Cluster, alongside Camden Cluster. Camden Cluster is a community with events that brings local businesses and people together in London. James is passionate in helping people realize their potential. Public speaking topics such as marketing, entrepreneurship, and building a brand are his forte, as you can hear in our previous conversations. He's very passionate about building on connecting people and business together. And he has most recently started a venture, causer.co, and it's an app now available at Apple. It's a game changer, as you've heard in our prior discussions, in social situations where you can connect with people around you and start conversations. So welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be back again.
Good. Tell us a little bit more about Camden Cluster and also founding Kentish Cluster.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're kind of interrelated. And if you imagine in London, Camden Town's actually quite famous. So maybe listeners, you may have heard of Camden Town. They get around 40 million visitors a year. It's like a huge kind of hub in North London. And what happened was we were looking to move offices, and we ended up moving offices right to Kentish Town. And there's this amazing hub and vibe here. And I know in the US, you guys have got Silicon Valley, and nicknamed in London, there's something called Silicon Roundabout, which is about 20 minutes from Kentish Town. And I ended up meeting a few business owners who live kind of they work locally in the area. One of them's a very big website called Mumsnet, which is a big mums website globally. And there's another company called MVF Global that was the fastest growing tech company in the UK, and they're based locally. Another company called Get Taxi, that's an Israeli company that's based nearby. And so what I started realizing that there was a fantastic hub of companies locally. And what is there an opportunity really to bring people together? So I ended up meeting a reporter, and I told them about this idea called Kentish Cluster. And they go, that sounds great. You should meet a guy called Tom. And Tom runs something called the Kentish Towner, which is like our local newspaper. Yeah. And they've also got an online hub, and they're like a community paper, and they're fantastic. And Tom's really passionate about, again, the community and bringing people together. And so on the two of us, I then reached out to the founders of these other companies. And I said, what about we create a community event, that we do a monthly event where we bring people that live and work together in the area. And they're for three key objectives. One was to put Kentish Town on the map, because there are a lot of press talk a lot about Silicon Roundabout, but there are lots of other hubs and opportunities. So we said, one, put us on the map. Two, if we get people connected, you know, there'll be opportunities for people to work together, to collaborate. And the third thing was, a lot of us were recruiting people and growing businesses. And the idea is, if we can help position that, that instead of people commuting an hour a day to jobs maybe they don't really enjoy, maybe there are jobs on their doorstep that we can help shine a light on, that we can help then recruit people. So that helps our businesses and helps people and improve their lifestyles. And we managed to get some sponsorship from our landlords in our building, in our office. So they gave us a small amount of money every month. And then we'd host a drinks thing where we'd bring people, so a bit of food and first drink for everyone. And that was now almost 3 years ago. And we've had just such a fantastic response from that, and deals, opportunities. We've recruited people. We've done business deals from a business perspective. So, you know, the intention was how we can help the community. But that, you know, I often think, like, from a business karma, you put things out and things come back, and about very much that idea of contribution and making a difference. Yeah. And as a result then of that, we then launched a bit wider, which then included Camden Town. So they're very intertwined. They're, you know, it's a side project. I guess it's a not-for-profit. It's, no, I'm not being paid to do it. It's just a very much contribution. I've got a fantastic fun story as well, that I went up to Birmingham, this is a few years ago, to speak at an event. And I ended up speaking alongside, there was a special advisor to our prime minister at the time, David Cameron. And after he spoke, I spoke to him, this guy called Daniel Korski, and I spoke to him and I said, oh, you know, I'm running this company, but we've also got Kentish Cluster. And he's like, oh, why is it in Kentish Town? I said, because I live there, but also we work there. And he goes to me, which I just couldn't believe. He goes, I live in Kentish Town. So Birmingham is like 2 hours from London. So obviously I need to go all the way to Birmingham to discover that this advisor to the prime lives in Kentish Town. And again, you can't make it up, right? This just happened. And yeah. We were sharing, and he goes, you know, you should come into number 10 and you should speak. Well, we'll have a discussion about growing businesses and what you're doing and the sharing economy and all of these things. And so I invited personally these 12 local business owners, including my brother and various people. And we went into 10 Downing Street, and it was unbelievable. We had this discussion, we had tea, and it was surreal. I mean, it was literally, and I just thought, you know what, like, in terms of, you know, the importance of having a vision, having a plan, what it was you wanted to do. Literally within a week of us launching it, I got approached by a newspaper, which is the Evening Standard, saying, you know, what's going on with this cluster? And, you know, one of the things was putting us on the map. And literally they drew a map with an arrow from Silicon Roundabout to Kentish Town, with a map saying Kentish Town, and then describing the what we're doing in the community. And again, that happened within a week. So I guess message for people listening, like, be very clear on your intentions and like what it is that you want to have a clear picture.
Right. What,
yeah. And you'll be surprised, like, honestly, like what happens. And that's also something I can relate actually back to Causa in terms of the app, because within the app, you can update your status. And what's key about a status is you can update your status for the next hour, 2 hours, 24 hours, or a permanent status. And I think if the more intentional you are, if you say, I need help with this, then people nearby can see that, and it gives them a signal or permission to contact you about that and help you with that thing. But also, if you can help someone else, you can offer something, you can volunteer. And over time, I can see us, we'd love to do, you know, help someone or pay it forward day, where everyone just puts on their status, I can help you with this, or I can contribute, etc. And how amazing could that be? So stay tuned for that. That's where we
I love the way you're connecting people together, and then you end up putting a less known area on the map.
Yeah.
Right? In a big way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Right? Yeah. Mentor. So So in terms of Kazerco, where did this funding come for that?
Yeah, so what's interesting is student beads we didn't get originally kind of any significant funding for. And we just built the business organically, and that took time and patience and focus and, you know, a huge amount of work. And I guess with Causa, because it's technology-led first and we needed to build the platform, I did go and secure a round of investment. And I've got four amazing investors that have joined me on this journey so far. A fantastic guy, one of them called Simon Franks, who founded Love Film, which sold over to Amazon a few years ago. And another person called Brett Acker, who founded Streetcar, that got sold to Zipcar, because I know you're familiar maybe in the US with Zipcar. Mm-hmm. And then another investor called Robin Alvarez, who was involved in a gas and electricity company to do with business to business, like cost savings and comparisons, and a fantastic kind of mentor and support. And finally, a fantastic girl called Alexandra Singer, who works in an investment bank. And so between the four of them, three of them have successfully exited businesses, and Alex as well is kind of a great combination with them. And, you know, they believe in me. They've kind of keen, obviously, we're all keen to see it succeed. And that's kind of in terms of current funding. But we're going to be raising kind of more money later on this year, which is really exciting. But it's, you know, it's a big responsibility. And those of you thinking about getting funding, is it's about making a choice. I think lots of people have got different views on should I get funding or not. And, you know, it's a different journey that you take and the pressures, you know, associated with that. And it's definitely not a light decision to make. But it's, you know, if your business thinks that it needs it, it's, you know, it's definitely one way and opportunity to do that. So, yeah. And
how involved are the investors? Do you meet with them regularly, or how are they involved in helping you outside of the money?
Yeah, outside of the money, I think, you know, a lot of people say there's smart money or dumb money, and it's definitely, you know, smart money. Like these guys, they and Alex, they really want to help. And at the moment, they're being very supportive in terms of like as and when I need it, and kind of ad hoc. And they're very, yeah, very much kind of from a supportive perspective. And I think it's partly like from a business perspective, as it like matures and grows, there are different things you need from advisors and different structure. So at the moment, they're letting me get on with it. And we normally kind of have a touch base, kind of a regular email. But they're at the end of the phone if they need anything and if I need anything. So there are definitely, I think, other people that have a lot more structure around it. Currently, no one else is on the board. So it's kind of myself. So they've given me like real ownership and responsibility to drive things forward. But they, you know, they challenge me though, and they ask me, you know, questions, and it's a great support structure, especially that I'm, you know, started this company alone. So I'm a sole founder at the moment, which has its challenges as well. But yeah, no, they're really great.
Yeah. Do you miss the partnership part of it? Or are you feeling like in this situation, it's kind of like I don't want to say maturing process, but it seems like where you started out, you know, with your brother and you found something that worked, and then you started this nonprofit, and now you're involving investors. So it's a different way of approaching the marketplace and making a difference. And so do you feel like you have more autonomy, or do you feel like you have more pressure to do certain things in order to make sure that your investors are satisfied?
Yeah, you know, I say it's all of the above. It's definitely, you've touched on a number of things. Like, I think it's always greener, right, on the other side. So when I was with Michael, I was constantly like, I want to do this, I want to do this. And, you know, you need to get something sense checked, and you need to get, you know, and he says no. And you're like, oh, but I want to do it still. And so right. Now I have this freedom, I can do everything. But now I'm like, oh, I don't have someone to share that with. And when I have a really bad day, which we all do, you know, it's like, how do I keep myself up? How do I, you know, and I just kind of do, because I'm just like, there's so many exciting things that are happening. And but it's difficult. And then, like you said, the pressure of kind of investors, and it is a very different feeling. Like, but I guess I've got this mentality, like I just want to succeed, and I want to do the best that I can. And like having investment, it's interesting. I don't feel differently. So when I started the company and I wasn't getting a salary, I was working just as hard as when I got a salary. And then, you know, then when I was carrying on, now that I've got investment in the company, I'm working just as hard as it was, you know, if I was making the money myself. And it just, there's no difference in terms of my input and focus and drive and wanting to succeed.
Right.
And that just, I think, is something inert that just comes. And I think, you know, the challenge today that I see that a lot of people just like expect it on a plate and they just kind of like, oh, why didn't it work? Like, and it's just like, there's so much that goes into the energy and, you know, an idea is an idea, but it's about the execution and delivery on it. And, you know, there are so many different challenges that, you know, go on a day-to-day basis and the ups, and that's such a roller coaster. But yeah, you just got to keep going.
Do you feel that's also part of what's misunderstood about entrepreneurship is that because the fuel behind the venture is really the energy of the entrepreneur and the passion to execute and to see the curiosity to see what this is going to grow up into, that you'll just, you know, work tirelessly to get to that end result. Do you feel that that's what's misunderstood?
Yeah, I don't think people have a full grasp really of how hard it is. And especially in today's world, I mean, even, you know, launching an app in today's world, like listeners, I'm sure, you know, like so many apps you'll download, you'll not look at again. You might not even, you know, so there's a percentage of people that apps, they download an app and they don't even open it. Like it's just,
that would be me.
And then you're like, okay, great. Yeah. No, and look, we laugh and we go, and it's like, but genuinely, it's like, okay, so how do we get past that? How do we engage people? How do we, you know, and it's like, it's so, there's so many moving parts and so many challenges. And, you know, I mean, literally, I'm speaking to, it's interesting, we mentioned briefly earlier about partnerships. So I'm massively focused at the moment on, is there a community? Are there communities in the world that would want to use Causa to help their own community connect? And a lot of people think that they want their own private network to help them connect. But my point is actually that people as people, I've got these experiences behind me. I went to a certain school. I went to my university. I'm interested in startups. I was involved in something called ISEC when I was a student. These things define me as a person, and I'm not separate. So I don't just want to, if I land, see someone just from my university, for example.
Yeah.
So the idea then of overlapping all of these things in one app makes it a very powerful tool and network. So at the moment, I said, we're trying to speak to these communities. And there was one community I was speaking to that I met a very senior person. They introduced me to their junior marketeers. They loved the idea. They said it was great. They then wrote a proposal that I sent them, but rewrote it internally for their systems. Then what happens? The senior guy that I met originally is now no longer working at the company. The two people now report into someone else. They don't have the buy-in. They need to resell it. Now,
yeah.
I mean, this is like 6 months ago. And then they email me last week again. Oh, we're really sorry. This has changed. And I'm like, okay, can we just put some flyers in the main area? And they're like, oh, we need to get that signed off. And they're just like, look, by the time you say yes and move on, like, life's too short. Like,
it's just, right. Too many processes, you know, to get something done. Like,
you know, it's like, it's really simple. It's like, is this tool useful for your members? Will you promote it to your members? It's really simple. Like, it doesn't cost anything. We can create a group for you. You know, let's get going. And it's just unbelievable. And, you know, the persistence that you need to, yeah. And they're not even saying no at the moment, right? They're just not saying yes, and they're not getting on with it. So it's just taken time. And I met another organization yesterday. They got 22,000 members. And they said to me, someone's on maternity leave at the moment. So the email I sent got sent through to someone else, and then they agreed to meet with me. But again, I've been talking to them for 9 months. Like,
yeah,
it's just, you know, and just to demonstrate that. But imagine that's two. I'm speaking to about 400 organizations at the moment. And like, literally, I had to do the same thing in Student Beans. I was speaking to people. And Michael said to me, James, it's not a job. It's just a hobby. You're just like, you care about it so much. You just keep going. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And it's just this, like, you just, and I, you know, so many other people just couldn't stomach it. They couldn't do it because it's just so much rejection and, you know, they're just bored. But actually, I can see even the last 2 days, things are coming together. People are coming back to me. And, you know, it takes time. And then someone sees a press release or see, you know, we got mentioned by Richard Branson on LinkedIn a few months ago, that someone then emailed me being like, oh, I've seen this great press you're getting. Oh, we'd like to work with you now. And it's just, you know, amazing people's, again, perception and afraid of new.
Yes. And you're having to always keep the rejection in perspective, you know, which is very difficult when you're, you know, feeling like you're the only one that's rolling the ball up the hill.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting from a listener's perspective, if you think about it, like no one else cares in the world as much as I do about this. So I get it, right? I'm emailing these companies, I'm speaking to these people, and they're like, it's just a small part in their world. And I just believe in the fact that if we can help their community connect more, they will see so much value from this. But yeah, it's difficult because it's intangible at the moment to demonstrate that. But as soon as it starts and people start connecting more and it brings the community together, it's so much more powerful. And, you know, what was so interesting, though, is on this, there was a feed on LinkedIn and there was a comment and someone said, James, I remember when you came into my restaurant back in 2005 when you started Student Beans. And I remember being inspired to buy from you.
Oh.
And it was the most genuine. It really kind of choked me up a bit because it was such a genuine thing for someone to share. Obviously, he didn't need to do that. And he said, you know, it's like a really, you know, congratulations to Causer, and I hope it's, you know, as big a success or bigger success than Student Beans. And, you know, I wrote back to him and I said to him, you know, it's people like you that enable entrepreneurs like us to succeed, because he took a risk. Like, it wasn't a big risk, but, you know, he says he was inspired by me, but he was the one that said yes and to do something. And, you know, the world needs, it's not the innovators, but it's the people that are willing to try.
Yeah.
And that in big businesses, you know, they're all big people. It's people at the end of the day that can make decisions. They don't appreciate the big difference they can make to growing companies and to startups and that whole ecosystem. And, you know, it's just how to unlock that. And that's the real, you know, the real, I think, people that make or break things. If those companies back 11 years ago all said no, I wouldn't be able to, you know, be where I am today in the company and helping students save money and, you know, do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, this is just, I'm just taking in everything that you're saying because it's such a common theme amongst entrepreneurs. I was wondering, do you have someone in your life that's significant that you can share your life with?
I do. And we met about, when was it? Almost 12 months ago. And it's a guy, he's called Tom. And he, okay, unfortunately, he lives in Wales, which is about 2 hours from London.
Okay.
And yeah, he's just an amazing, he's actually a pharmacist. And he's working in a new super prison that's opening for 2,000 men, that's opening in about 2 weeks' time.
What's a super prison?
Super prison's over 2,000 inmates.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, that's, and he's responsible for head of pharmacy for all of their, for dispensing and making sure everyone's okay and well looked after, etc. So it's a very different role, but he's, you know, we met skiing, which was really great, through a friend introduced us. And yeah, it's been like an amazing, despite him not being in London, there's a real special bond. And he as well, he, it's always something to look forward to. He's a great,
yeah,
like brain, and is amazingly understanding despite this not being his world, and is so encouraging and so supportive. And yeah, no, it's really, really important.
Yeah, it is. As you're growing and the longer that you're in entrepreneurship, I mean, there has to be life outside the venture.
Absolutely. And in the summer, he used to live in Devon. So when we met, he was living in Devon, and that's the south of England. And there was beach, and it was such a lovely time to, on the weekends, completely cut off and just be together and kind of enjoy that time. And so it does work well, partly by us not being in the same place. So I can be, it's now 10 past two in the morning, so I can be here doing what I need to do without worrying that I'm going to wake him up or anything about that. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, and he knows, and it's exciting. But yeah, he's a great part of my life.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And the joys of being early into a relationship is always fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, this has been just a total delight. Thank you for just being so real and authentic and sharing the true essence of what an entrepreneurship is like. And it sounds to me like you grew up in a very encouraging entrepreneurial environment with people who did such wonderful things to help other people out in their community. Are there any other entrepreneurs in the family?
So, well, I said I co-founded with my brother, and then my eldest brother actually joined the Beans Group 6 years ago. So at one stage, three of us were all working in the business.
Okay.
And also at one stage, my sister joined the business, but only for around 6 months. So, you know, I think it was great while she was there, but I think she realized there were other things she wanted to do. So it was, I think always with these things, it's the right decision when it started. And if it ends, it's the right decision, you know, when it ended. So that's that. And then my youngest brother is studying and he's just graduating to be a doctor. So completely different. And
a medical doctor?
We joke, medical doctor, exactly. Yeah, medicine.
Okay.
He's graduating. I say we joke saying, I think he's the super child. He's got all of our bits, all of the best bits of us. But finally, my parents were like, after the third one, I know you said earlier, by this first two, you know, they just let them get on with it. But I think even more so, the younger one, they were just like, I'm sure he'll be fine. And he's just amazing. He inspires me so much. He just is just an amazing human and just cares so much. And it's just, he's really, really special. But all of them are, but he's special.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's got some great mentors. All right. Well, I hope our paths will cross again and that we'll actually meet in person sometime. Thank you for these delightful three mentoring conversations, and I wish you the best. Feel free to come back on air in like a year, and we'll, you know, maybe check in to see how things are going at Kaiser Co.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to. And any listeners as well, feel free to reach out. I'm on Twitter at James Eder, and feel free to find me on LinkedIn and just reference, obviously, the podcast. And, you know, I really wish you good luck with your journeys and everything that you do. And, you know, I think, we only live once, right? So if you're going to live it, you know, make the most of it. And good luck with your journeys.
That was a beautiful way to end the show. All right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, James, so much again for being here across the pond in our conversation. And thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer and photographer, and always good friend sitting next to me here, making sure everything's working. All right. We'll see you next Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.